the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, it's wonderful to be back, and I got to tell you, I love confirmation. If for no other reason, you get a lot of people sitting in the front of the church. So it is good to see everybody here this morning, even those in the back of the church. I want to begin with an obvious thank you to this congregation and to Sean and to Amy and to Sally and their team for the hosting of Diocesan Council that was done late last month. We had almost 1,000 people from the Diocese of West Texas come together to do our business over a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and as usual, Church of the Good Shepherd came through like a real champ, and we are so delighted. So I bring you the thanks of a grateful diocese and both of your bishops. So, just want you to know, I didn't take it for granted. A lot of work, and it was a lot of fun. Okay, I promised the confirmation class, or at least I said this, that I wouldn't drone on and on up here, but get right to the points this morning, because we've got a lot to do, so that's what I'm going to do. I'm sure that child and adult alike have come to church, may even come here this morning, kind of wondering why am I going, or what's the point, or another boring church service, or something like that, perhaps. Some of you come on your own accord, some of you are made to come here by your so-called loved ones. But however you got here, we're delighted that you are here. And I know that it's not easy to get up and come to church. And some people just come in and then they leave and they wonder, well, I'm sure something happened there, but I missed it. I missed it. So I'm going to give you a way to think differently about that every single week. And it just requires a little habit for you to acquire. And that is simply this, that when you wake up on Sunday morning and you're going to be coming to church, you're eating your breakfast, taking a shower, or whatever you're doing, driving over here, if you will get in the habit of just simply saying, I wonder how God will speak to me today, your worship experience will be different. Because you will be looking for something, some message, and you will get one, I guarantee it. It may be in the prayers, it could be in one of the hymns, it could be in the readings from Scripture, it could be in the sermon, it could be in the Eucharist, lots of different ways. But if you come to church and you're expecting God to speak to you, this will become more meaningful because you'll be looking out for it. And let me give you a good example of this today. So I, of course, have to think about this ahead of time for what I'm going to say, but it doesn't matter. I can always say, wonder how God's going to speak to me in the upcoming Sunday. And I think the thing that really jumped out to me is this one line, one small sentence from Paul's letter to the Ephesians this morning, which summarizes the whole point of everything we do. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. No kidding. That's what we're about. That's what our life in Christ is about. We are trying, I hope, to please the Lord. To please the Lord. And so, how does that speak to us? Well, one of the things in this gospel lesson that it tells us right off is that 2020 vision does not equate to insight when it comes to these Pharisees and their hard-heartedness. Try to do something pleasing to the Lord. Last week was the lesson about the Samaritan woman. This week, the lesson about the blind man. Both of these things, in both of these stories, Jesus is putting human beings above precedent and above human tradition and above human division. And so for God, it always counts when we love our neighbor. There's no exception to that. God likes it when we love our neighbor. You know, he said in Deuteronomy, and it's quoted again by Jesus, when Jesus is asked, what's the most important thing I can do? He says, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And I'll give you a second one for no charge. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so if you do those two things, you're well on the way to living the life in Christ. And I've always thought it's interesting, you know, the Ten Commandments, the first four deal with our relationship with God. The next six all have to do with our relationship with each other. Which tells me it's harder to get along with our neighbor than it is with God, because we got six of them. Okay, so you come to church, you're expectant, you're hopeful, you're trying to lead your life, I hope, and to doing, as Paul writes here, what is pleasing in the sight of the Lord. And today we heard some great stories at 9 o'clock, some great experiences of your confirmation class today and their faith and how they experienced it. And so they take another step into the family today. Those people who are being received from another tradition today are being incorporated. They're, of course, already in the Christian family, but being incorporated into the Episcopal Church family, into the family of Church of the Good Shepherd. And I got to thinking about families along these lines and joining up. And, you know, I can remember the very first time I met my children, little babies. You remember when you first met your own children? Or if you don't have children, think about how your parents felt when they first met you. Now, when we had our first child and they gave Sarah to us to drive home, I thought, what in the world are these people doing? We do not know anything about parenting. Nothing. And yet, you learn by experience, by participation. And so you think about, how is it that you learn to bear your family's name? And how is it that you learn what it means to be a part of your family? Well, in healthy families, this is done by receiving love and then returning love. So being loved, being loving. It's done by being given responsibility and by taking that responsibility. It's done, and this is harder in this day and age, but it's still very important, by sharing a common meal around a table as a family and learning about each other, what went on in the day, what the hopes, needs, and concerns of family include. And we grow by participation and experience, living fully into what it means to bear your family's name. And everything I just said is also true about coming into the Christian family or taking another step into it. We grow as Christians, part of this family, by being loved and by being loving. We grow in the Christian family by being given responsibility and by taking it. We grow as family members by gathering around a common table, the Holy Eucharist, week by week, and sharing a meal. We grow by participation and experience. And so I'd invite you to open your prayer books for a moment to page 416. 417. Now, when I finish this sermon, we're going to have the class presented, and then we're all going to have an opportunity to renew our baptismal covenant. Of course, we do this at baptisms too. The baptismal covenant on page 416 and 17, it's the Apostles' Creed in question and answer form. So every creed has a paragraph about God, has a paragraph about Jesus, has a paragraph about the Holy Spirit. So what we did is take the Apostles' Creed and you put it in this question and answer form, and then it's followed by these five promises. And so if you look on that page 417, these five promises are full of action verbs, things to do. Strive, you just look at them, seek, serve, respect, love, so forth. Persevere, resist, repent. On the list goes. Lots of action. Lots of action. This is what we're called to. This isn't spectator sport where we just come to church and get things by osmosis, though I guess that happens from time to time as well. But this is, we're invited into the full life of the family. And we do it by participation. The main work of the church, perhaps, is certainly St. Paul's would say this, and we see it in Jesus' own life and ministry clearly, is reconciliation. The purpose of Jesus' coming, in the first place, is to reconcile people to God and people to each other, our neighbors. And I love the image that Isaiah gives us. In the 58th chapter, he encourages people to become repairers of the breach. Repairs of the breach. And if this world ever needed this kind of activity, it's now. You cannot pick up a paper, read, go on internet, whatever, and without seeing division as almost the lead headline every single time. And so what can you do in your own life to begin to practice being a repairer of the breach, this reconciling work of Christ? Because it always counts to God when we love our neighbor. When I was a kid, we'd go to my grandmother's house for Christmas Eve, and then when she died, we started going over to my aunt's house. And like most families, I suppose, there was a child's table, there was an adult table. And so somebody'd say a prayer, and then from time to time, somebody would make a toast to the family. And so if you had milk at the kids' table or whatever, you lifted your glass. Same thing, adults lifted their glass. And we toasted what it meant to be part of this gathering, of that family. How it gave us an opportunity. Of course, I wasn't thinking about this when I was 9 years old, but it gives you an opportunity to think about what it means to be a part of that family. And when I lift this chalice up every Sunday morning, I think, you know, in some ways what we're doing is we're toasting our family life together as the church. And we're saying we're part of something greater than just our own life. We're part of something more meaningful. And who doesn't want to have a great and meaningful life? I think most of us, all of us would say, sure, I would like to have a great and meaningful life. Finally then, there's a little saying, a poem of sorts, I guess, not really a poem, but a saying that I want to leave with you. You can look it up this afternoon on the internet if you want to. There's a guy named Frank Outlaw who's credited with saying this, though he might or might not have actually said it, but it comes from wisdom from a long time, many, many people over the years. And it simply goes like this, and it has to do with our attitudes toward our neighbor and the kind of great and meaningful life we're going to live. Maybe you know this. It said, watch your thoughts because they become your words. Watch your words because they become your actions. Watch your actions because they become your habits. Watch your habits because they become your character. And watch your character because it becomes your destiny. And I hope your destiny includes having a great and meaningful life. And so if you want a great and meaningful life, live for great and meaningful reasons. And I think that's what Jesus is getting at in his simple statement, follow me, follow me. Because I can't think of a greater or more meaningful life than his. Amen. Now we're going to continue.